Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
And welcome to the 464th episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, today with two informative co-hosts. We've got R Sigma.
Yo.
And the hot off the press P McGee.
Hello, hello.
And welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007. The Royal Wii. It was just me.
Everyone gets blamed for this.
Yeah. I don't know. Do people really think? Like, I don't know. But we talk everything Pokemon here, from the video game to the trading card game to everything in between. We're just happy to have you here today, and we're happy to just, like, hang out and do some cool stuff. It'll be a good time.
Woo. An exciting time.
It is absolutely an exciting time. I do not disagree with you.
Maybe the last exciting time for, like, 6 more months, 8 more months. Who knows?
My answer is in 4 months, we'll probably get something. Because in 4 months is Pokemon Day.
Well, I guess there's still Snap to come out at some point.
Snap isn't the same, though.
Snap is going to
be an event. It'll be a nostalgic event for a lot of us.
It's an event that lasts a day.
Snap is going to be like a little bit more hype than Mystery Dungeon DX, but it's going to be Mystery Dungeon DX's like pattern, but amplified.
Yeah.
That's what Snap's going to be. Because Snap is just a spin-off game. I guarantee you the gameplay isn't going to be like that intense.
It's a rail shooter. Like,
yeah, it's a rail shooter.
At the end of the day, it's a rail shooter.
Yeah. It's not going to be that intense. I think you'll have like a lot of people, especially in the Reddit, like sharing their pictures from it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And probably even on our Discord and stuff like that. But I think after like 2 weeks, it's probably going to die off.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be like Crown Tundra where we're going to spend like a month doing stuff with it, right? Crown Tundra is really exciting. I'm still really excited for Pokemon Day. I think Pokemon Day is going to bring us something.
It's the 25th anniversary. It's a big anniversary.
It's a big anniversary. They're going to do something. As long as it's not Gen 9, I'm going to be super happy.
Or something that's limited purchase. Like, you can only buy it for 3 months.
Okay, so I don't understand why they're doing this other than to, like, create a fake sense of urgency. Because, like, they just, yeah, because, I mean, we could take a couple of minutes to talk about that and just in gaming, well, Nintendo industry news. Like, Mario 35 getting cut off on the 31st of March. I guess the new Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon, is it even a remake? It's like a port, right? Like, it's just a straight port of, like, the NES version.
It's a localization of the original, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a port of the original Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon, which I find is the weirdest one. I think it would have been really cool to see, like, the Binding Blade or something like that instead.
I mean, I think this will be successful enough to where maybe they consider that in the future.
Yeah, I honestly think... I wish Fire Emblem would have done like a full on like, hey, here's a pack of like three old Fire Emblem games,
mm-hmm.
instead of just Shadow Dragon, because Shadow Dragon's a little underwhelming to me as a Fire Emblem fan,
mm-hmm.
because it's already come out in the US. It was on DS.
Mm-hmm.
You could play it, and probably a better version than what you're going to get in December.
I'd imagine these are relatively, like, low effort to make, so I think if it's successful, they'll probably do more, which I'd be okay with.
I saw a lot of discussion talking about, like, how a lot of the effort went to, like, translation and stuff. I'm like, not really, because it already exists.
Yeah, like, fans have done it already.
Well, fans have done it, and Nintendo's done it.
Take that, but yeah.
Nintendo's done it. Shadow Dragon exists. You can buy it. You can go right now if you own a Wii U, if you're one of the five people.
I got one. There's four left.
Three of us are here. Three of us are here. So the two other people who own Wii U's can go over to their Wii U right now, and they could go download Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
They can go do that right now. And I think Nintendo realizes that to an extent. I honestly think the way they're doing things is trying to like make it seem like a virtual console still exists. I don't know how successful the old virtual console used to be. I imagine not so much so if they haven't brought it back. So I think they're like trying to do a different way of doing virtual console,
mm-hmm.
which is okay. I still think, like, I think for 25th anniversary Pokemon, we could totally see some kind of like collection of gens like 1 through 3.
Collections or individual releases, like,
yeah,
I would love breaking that barrier of putting GBA games on Switch, because then other things can do it.
Well, I think if they do it in the way that they've been doing anniversary stuff with like the limited releases, I think they're more than able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the perfect avenue for it, and I know somebody's going to complain about it, but whatever. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see something like that. I mean, we're obviously going to talk about Crown Tundra today. I don't want this to sound like a criticism of TPCI. And that, like, I'm not happy with Crown Tundra, because it's exactly the opposite. I mean, I would love to see that. I would love to see, like, Gen 4 remakes, and I think the writing's kind of on the wall for those.
Maybe.
A little bit. I think the writing's on the wall. I really do. I think with Crown Tundra and the way that they've been filling out the decks, I think it is very intentional that half the starters are still missing.
Yes.
I think it's very intentional. So I was thinking about it the other day, actually, Sigma, because we were talking about... like them rotating into GS Cup at some point and letting in Calyrex plus horse.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it, and I'm just like, well, they could just like go to a GS Cup, you know, in July or something like that. Cause I mean, there's not too many more rotations they can really do, right?
Yeah. If they keep up the 2 month rotation, there's like only so many things they can do with it, right?
Yeah. So we can get GS Cup for like 2 or 3 months around Worlds or something like that, and that'd be really cool. And then you know what? You come out with your Diamond and Pearl remakes, and then you restart your 2 month cycles with just Sinnoh decks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, you just started with Sinnoh decks.
The issue is Sinnoh decks is like half as much as what Sword and Shield original decks was, and it's Star Jump, which means
I guess I should put it in quotes. I mean, like, revised Sinnoh decks, right? Like. So this is a question that I don't know the answer to off the top of my head. Was the Hoenn decks in Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire?
They added all the new evolutions, and that's roughly
was
what
that
it? Because it ended up being 210 large instead of the 200 it originally was.
Really?
So
is that all they did?
Like Frostlass.
I honestly thought they had done more.
Nope. Hoenn decks was 210 or something that.
Even in Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. That's interesting.
Yeah. Like, they added Deoxys. Deoxys was in the original, but they added like Frostlass, and that's what they did.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. That's disappointing.
I do like what you're saying, though, because, like, I like that we're spacing out content a little more this way. So for things like playing online, like, it actually like, you can come back every couple of months, and there's something new to do, new ways to play. It doesn't get stale, and they don't have to, like, heavily change the rules to like allow legendaries in or something like that to make it work. They just have new Pokemon that are showing up, or they're banning some because they're overused, which is fine with me too. I'm actually enjoying that format on cart.
So. I really like the VGC formats.
Yeah. I think it should be 3 months.
And yes.
That's my only critique of it. It's like, I like this. It should be longer, but I like this.
I don't disagree entirely. I think it is very fun. I think if they could keep it up, My only worry is, like, they try to, like, rush it too much, and then, like, we get into Gen 9 next year, and I don't want that from a fan's perspective, just because we're obviously having issues with them trying to push out too much content too fast, and I don't want it to be too terribly scary. Because I think there's some kind of, like, new mainline game coming, and I will exclude Let's Go from that as a mainline game, as TPCI has. I would like to point that out. I saw some discussion among some people online talking about, like, still doing, like, the Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee or, like, mainline games argument. And
I mean, that's because they specifically said they were until it's like...
They did until it wasn't convenient.
Play Sword and Shield, the first mainline games on the TV.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Okay. Yeah, as soon as Sword and Shield were announced, like, they ditched that moniker, like, real fast. They're like, let's go Pikachu and Eevee. We're fun experiments. Yay. And that's why when everybody's like, oh, maybe there's a new Let's Go game coming, I'm like, yeah, probably not. Because, like, what do you change from a Let's Go game to just not turn it into a proper mainline game at this point, other than, like, not finishing the decks? But now that's just a normal thing. I don't know what you do to, like, because a lot of things that made Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, were the simplification of a lot of battle mechanics.
Yes.
Like, you didn't have held items. You didn't have
abilities.
You didn't have abilities. And so, like, let's go to Let's Go Johto, where one of the big things that Gold and Silver introduced were held items.
Yeah. And I think you could do that in Let's Go. It's like, especially with
the but you're just getting to Pokemon at that point. You're just getting to regular Pokemon.
If it's the item pool from, like, Gold and Silver, it's like, oh, have a berry.
Yeah. Well, so, like, at that point, you're just making glorified versions of the games. You already had.
I mean, that's not a bad thing. I think it's healthy for them to have an outlet to have to, like, be like, play Pokemon, but we don't have to care about what competitive looks like. So just play Pokemon.
I honestly don't think they care what competitive looks like now. But they did a lot. They did a lot of stuff, actually. When they brought back Lando, they did add Articuno, the Galarian Articuno.
They gave Articuno that 10 speed it needed.
But no ice moves.
No ice moves.
That's
but it
okay.
Doesn't matter. You're getting +2 special attack. Like, you're fine.
Yes.
Yes. It's perfectly happy.
That Lando better have AV.
Yes. I mean, I like that they're... Well, if you give it ice moves, I think then you just get ultra centralized with Articuno. It's not creating... It's not fixing a problem. It's creating a new one.
Ice is a very good offensive type.
So yes.
Not having the defensive typing, but having the offensive access would be...
Exactly. Exactly, and we also got new horse, so we have the ice horse, so that probably isn't too bad.
It looks like it'll be good on Trick Room teams.
Yes.
It's about the only place it'll be good.
Which is good to say for a mono.
That's okay. Like, I'm okay with that.
You don't get that a lot.
I'm fine. But yeah, I'd be interested to see what's going forward. I'm interested in 2021 now, especially since we didn't get a presentation like when Crown Tundra dropped like we did with Isle of Armor.
Yeah.
I think we're just too close to Pokemon Day for them to want to announce anything.
Probably. I think we are, like, the soonest we hear anything is January again.
Mm.
Because, like, I can see a world where they're just like, hey, we're going to add another thing to Swish or something, like, on Pokemon Day.
Yeah.
And then they tell us about that in January.
I'm not sure I believe that, because I don't think you're going to have to pay for the next... If they add a couple things to Sword and Shield, I don't think you're going to have to pay for it, because it's just going to be a couple Pokemon.
You're probably not incorrect.
So they don't need to pre-announce it.
Because that new thing releases soon, right? Like the complete edition or like the with the DLC.
Well, so they don't call it the complete edition, which is something that I think needs to be made clear in the community, because like people keep calling it like, oh, this is the definitive edition that came out, and it's not really.
Yeah.
They just call it Sword and Shield plus Expansion Pass.
No, it's just like everything's on one card.
Like that's all it is. That's all it's called. Nothing else. It's just so that you can buy it all at once on cart for your kid for Christmas. It's just to put something else on the shelves for Christmas. That's all.
I mean, it is cool that it's all on cart. But
yes, I think saying though that like this is the definitive edition is a misnomer, because how many other games have we known that just have like several editions? And what company do we know that's very good at making confusing titles for things? So like I wouldn't be surprised if there's something more, but like I also wouldn't be unsurprised after we talk about Crown Tundra for various reasons if nothing happened. So we'll go ahead and let's cut it here and let's go talk about some news. So let's cue that epic music.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower, this just in.
And welcome to the news. For those of you who do not know what's going on, Crown Tundra came out this past week, just the other day, actually, as of recording. And so we've gotten some time to play it. We're going to talk more about that, obviously, in the topic, because it's Crown Tundra, and we wanted to just, like, talk about it as Pokemon fans. that being said, Pokemon Home did update to include the new Pokemon from from Crown Tundra, as well as like allow you compatibility with the Pokemon that are added in to Crown Tundra. So you can do that. So yeah, there we go. I don't know who wants to be green and who wants to be pink today.
I can be green. Yeah, so we've also been told there's going to be a new episode of what we thought was the completed Twilight Wings series, and it's scheduled to release on November 5th. We have no idea what the content of that episode is going to be right now, though.
I feel like that, I don't, that seems like, why?
Why is indeed the correct question.
Why? I totally get if it was like a Pokemon Generations episode, but this mm-hmm. is more like, hey, you know that story we finished? Yeah, we got another one.
We're just gonna keep going with it.
We got another episode.
We got more to tell. We got more to tell. I mean, I liked the animation in the last episode a lot.
No, the animation was good, and it was a cute concept. I like seeing Pokemon in more of the way that they're represented in the game than in the way they're represented in the anime.
Yeah.
Because the anime world at this point is just like its own thing. It's got characters from the games, and that's like all of the equivalency. But it's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting. I guess mm-hmm. you're pink today, Sigma.
Yeah.
Oh, God, this is exciting, isn't it?
Oh, joy. We got one Cap Pikachu left, I think. So World Cap Pikachu is coming out later this week.
On the 30th.
Yes, later this week. And after it comes out, you will have a month to redeem any of the serial codes that have for these Cap Pikachus. The full list can be found on Cerebi, and we also have a link to it in our Discord channel. So get your Cap Pikachus, because
yeah, Cap Pikachus, the most exciting thing in the world. You know, I think in Swish, and if you look at all the Pokemon that are in there, minus Alcremie, I think Pikachu has the most number of forms.
Probably.
I can't believe that.
If you don't count Alcremie. All right. In video game battling news, the next online competition has been announced as a competition. The Tundra Tourney is a single battle competition that only allows for Pokemon within the Crown Tundra Pokedex. All players who enter get 50 battle points. I will sign up for this one, and I will stream this one. Sigma, remind me to sign up for it. I always go, oh, I should sign up for that. And I look and it's 8 p.m. on Thursday.
And it's like, 8:01.
I'm like, oh, I just missed it. all right. I guess P. Mickey, I'm going to steal this from you.
Okay. Yeah, it's fine.
The Galarian Birds, Regieleki, Regidraco, and Spectrier and Gleistrier have been clarified as being part of the list of legendaries not banned from online play. Spectrier and Gleistrier are the two horses for those of you uninformed.
Yeah.
Okay. Pokemon Go news. I guess we skipped you, P. Mickey, so we're going to Sigma.
That's fine.
All right. So Halloween event has started in Pokemon Go.
Oh, no.
More ghost types and dark types have been spawning. I know there's dark types because there's Alolan Grimers out there now. And ooh, those usually don't spawn. Right? I like Alolan Grimers.
That's interesting.
I'm happy for him to be there. Anyways, you get two times the transfer candy and the catch candy. There's costume Gengar and costume Sableye. You get both of them through researches, so it's not going to be too hard for you to get those. There's a special research that has Spiritomb in it, and I believe there's a Galarian Yamask even past the Spiritomb level. So
ooh,
interesting.
That's fun. You'll want to do that now while ghosts are spawning in high numbers. So
yes.
Let's see. Yeah, there's the timed Gengar research for anyone who completed the challenge like a month ago to unlock Gengar. And Darkrai will be in raids until November 5th. And there's an Alolan Marowak raid day on Halloween.
Okay, yay. So like all of that is just like that used to be the Pokemon Go news segment. That used to be the Pokemon Go news segment. There's so much more.
I mean, I can take the next stop. Real quick part.
Oh, yeah,
too,
you should go with the next one, Sigma, because it's related. Because I just highlight.
It's okay.
Yeah, like I said, Galarian Yamask is in one of the researches.
No, you get and, to do the spotlight, okay?
Runarigus's evolution data is in there. He has to be your buddy while you win like 10 raids.
Okay. Yikes.
They also released Sirfetch'd, which you get from being your buddy and throwing like 10 excellent throws with him as your buddy. So I
yay.
Got that.
Wow.
Spotlight hours, November. Real exciting list of options coming out here. We've got Cubone on the 3rd with 2x Stardust. We've got Jigglypuff on the 10th with 2x catch experience. Good old Kantoan Meowth on the 17th with 2x catch candy. And then finally on the 24th, we've got Barboach with the 2x transfer candy.
Wait. Isn't the 24th? Okay, no, it's a Tuesday. I was like, isn't that Thanksgiving? Yeah, I was just like, no, it's a Tuesday. I forgot that their spotlights are on Tuesdays. That's fine. My bad. My apologies. I also, you say they're boring, but like, I understand why they do the spotlights like this, because it gives people who are newer to the game a chance to get some of the older stuff.
Yeah.
That way you just go, oh, like you're a Gen 1-er who joined Pokemon Go in 2020 because of quarantine or something. And so you're just like, oh, I don't have Cubone yet because he's impossible to catch otherwise. We've been in constant events for the past 7 years. And that's the way it feels, at least. The game's been out for 4. And so, so you get Cubone and Jigglypuff and Meowth and Barboach that way.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. Togekiss will be the research breakthrough.
Togetic.
Togetic.
You don't even get the kiss. You don't get the kiss.
You get the Togetic. Will be the research breakthrough for November and will last until December 5th. Why until December 5th?
I don't know. I noticed that too. That's why I included the date, because I thought it was a little weird.
That's weird. Also, Venusaur has left Mega Raids, and Niantic now clarifies on how Mega Candy can still be acquired. Field research, timed research, and walking with a buddy who is in an evolutionary line that can be Mega Evolved. I think you also have to Mega Evolve them first for that.
Yeah, I...
For the buddy part, at least.
I can't say this was a well-thought-out mechanic on their part.
No, it definitely was a well-thought-out mechanic, because it gets people to buy remote raid passes to catch Megas. 100%. 100%. Like, Pokemon Go, it used to not be as obvious. Like, I didn't really notice it until, like, a year after they had done a lot of events that were very much so based on, like, hatching eggs. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody pointed it out to me. I think it was Joe Merrick pointed it out on Twitter, that it was just like, he's like, I can only walk so much and I can only get this many eggs. He's like, it's literally a gacha to get me to buy incubators.
Yep.
And I was just like, huh, I never thought about it that way. And then, like, all of a sudden, like, this year, especially, they've just, like, kind of cranked out, like, the ways that you can give them money, or the things you can give them money for. And, like, I enjoy Pokemon Go. I'll go into spurts, like, month-long spurts, where it's just like, yeah, let's play Pokemon Go every day and, like, really get into it. But, I don't know, this is a lot of things now. This is super overwhelming.
Oh, it never stops. I feel like the list gets longer every week.
Yeah, it's just very overwhelming. I mean, I've noticed it getting longer too, because P. McGee puts together a news document for us, and like the Go news has like started becoming more than a page every week.
Yep.
But yeah, I think you're pink, or who's ever pink gets to go next.
Oh, Sigma. There's some kind of AR mapping event or missions that you can get now when you spin a Pokestop. I don't know what it's like. They have a video on it if you care. You get, like, rare candies.
They just want you to, like, be able to make an AR thing so you can, like, catch a Pokemon by a Pokestop and it'd be real cool or something.
Yeah. No, they're making you... They're outsourcing their work to you.
Yes. That's how most things for Niantic work. Like, I feel so bad for people who are, like, super into Ingress, because literally, like, Ingress became the backbone of Pokemon Go. And, like, they did all of the work to collect all of the data for, like, initial Pokemon Go.
Yeah, it's like, you're getting rare candies to do that.
Yeah, it's something. Yeah. It's an event.
You can get rare candies. Already,
which is something. Poffins, I guess. I don't actually know how to get Poffins outside of that.
You have to buy them, I guess.
Oh, you can buy them. Something. You can get some Poffins.
I don't know why. I have millions of berries. I don't need to feed them.
Yep.
I don't need to feed the Poffins.
Niantic, as Sigma has already said, they released Galarian Ponyta and Sirfetch'd to raids, and Sirfetch'd can now be evolved through that convoluted method that Sigma was telling you about a minute ago.
Perfect.
And then, because why should things be easy? And then players can now purchase masks for their avatars for the Halloween event. I don't know if those are going to continue afterwards or not, but you can go get some now and put them on. So yay.
Yay. Okay. Cool. So as mentioned, last week, Pokemon Go has been doing very special events, especially that one with Grubhub Plus. We are all very, very aware of that one. But there's a new one that you can get there's a new event for Verizon subscribers. That's me. The event also runs on November 7th. Verizon subscribers can get a ticket from now until October 28th, timed research containing Mega Charizard energy, Bulbasaur, Charizard, Squirtle, unknowns, V and Z, Sableye, Patrat, Minchino, and Ferroseed. And Ferroseed can be shiny.
No wonder they took shiny unknowns.
I might do it because it's free and I can get unknowns V and Z.
Yeah,
I don't have those. Mm-hmm.
Might as well. Like, eh.
I only have the ones from GoFest. I have G and O. all right, and I'm gonna let. So we've got some Puckle news. That's like your general Pokemon news. 10 minutes, but we've got some Puckle news. It's actually relatively exciting this time, and I'm gonna let Sigma explain a little bit more about this because I know he and Shamu have done the details, and I am just a follower that was told to participate. So we do have Fall League starting, I believe November 1st, if I am not mistaken. Yeah. Right? Okay. So yeah. Sigma, is there anything else they need to know about Fall League?
No. All you have to do is bring a doubles team to challenge the gym leaders when they're around.
Yes. Everything's going to be following the VGC format.
Yeah. Following the VGC format, which is like everything that's not a box legend in Mewtwo and Calyrex. And Eternatus, I guess, too. He's not on a box. Poor guy.
Yes.
But yeah, make yourself a Series 7 VGC team. Or, yeah, doubles team, VGC team, whatever you want to call it. And then you can challenge the gym leaders. The more badges you have, the harder it's going to be for you. Eventually, you'll be doing best of three against them. So.
Yes, there are only 5 gym leaders this time as well.
Mm-hmm.
The times when everything will be posted above, but there's 5 gym leaders. I think you need all 5 to get into the... Or did we say it was all 5?
I think we decided on 4.
We said 4 because I wanted 4 because I wanted there to be some wiggle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially with the holiday.
The holidays around. And when does it end? Do you know when badge collection will end?
I mean, I think it'll still end like the end of the month.
Okay. We'll say roughly end of November.
Expect weird schedules on the last week because of the holiday.
Yeah. We'll say end of the month. Maybe we'll have it run like 1 week into December or something. But...
Yeah.
Yeah, do it. Have fun. Learn VGC. It's a good time. I just like doing these things in general, and it's a lot of fun just to participate. Speaking of that as well, I finally put the order in this week to get the badges. So we are getting the new badges put in, and if you join the Patreon next month, November, at the $15 tier, you can get those badges shipped to you. It's going to work a little bit differently than normal because the way we're going to handle it is we're still going to have the badges and everything put up on Etsy. We're going to give you a coupon code if you're on Patreon that gives you the badges for free plus the cost of domestic United States shipping. So it comes up to like $18 and some odd cents. Or not 18, it'll be like 20 some dollars and some odd cents. And then you can, so you'll still save your $5 on the badges and everything by being a patron at that level. But you will also just get everything for free. But that way we can handle international shipping as well, because international shipping gets kind of pricey. Liger. And that way we can get everything to you guys in a timely fashion. If you want to order extras, you can do that as well. We also still have TCG mats up on that store too. We'll probably put the Summer League badges up at the same time so that you could grab a set if you haven't grabbed a set. But yeah, other than that, I still have some lying around, but if not, I'll just keep them. I don't care. All right. So on that note, though, this is a good place to stop. Oh, I guess we're doing Patreon giveaway. We're giving away the horses next month, right?
Yeah.
Ponies?
Yeah.
Ponies?
Yeah. Come get some ponies.
Come get some ponies at the Patreon as well. It's a good month to be a patron at Puckle. All right. On that note, though, we are going to go ahead and kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. So let me go ahead and explain the rules. The rules are there are 5 questions all coming to you from the Discord that are Pokemon themed. The Discord. Only the Discord. Sigma and P. McGee are going to be operating together as a team to answer those questions. Due to some bonus point shenanigans, there is a possible total of 8 points. They're in a race with their fellow co-host to 30 points. Whoever gets there first gets a $20 credit to PokemonCenter.com. Sigma is actually in shooting distance today. He has 25 points. So if he gets 5 points, he will he'll go ahead and win this round. You too can win as well by a $20 credit if you're in the domestic United States to AnimeGravy.com. the sponsors of this segment. So let me take you a look over here. Yeah, we're ready to go if you guys are.
Let's do it.
Also, if they get the 30 points, P. McGee will get whatever total rolled over for him for the next round of PokeQuiz.
I'm pretty sure this has happened every time so far. I keep getting the rollover points and then losing.
That's your fault.
I know.
That's your fault.
I get the head start and lose every time.
That's your fault. All right. Our first question is going to be from Jeremy. What is the first Pokemon Ash obtains in the Johto region in the anime? Of course.
Oh, I feel like it's Chikorita.
It's not Totodile?
It's one of the starters. It's one of the starters.
Yeah, that I'm confident about, too. I'm trying to figure out which one.
I just don't remember which one.
Yeah. I don't think it's Cyndaquil. I could be wrong on that, but I don't think it's Cyndaquil. He gets Noctowl, so he definitely went to caught that early. That would have been a later on catch.
Yeah, Noctowl was, like, in Ilex Forest. Like, he got that after the Bug Gym or something.
Yeah.
Because he had to get rid of his team as he was going so he could catch more Pokemon. but I think it was Chikorita.
Is Chikorita your answer? Or what's your answer?
I'm going with you, Sigma. I'm between the two. I think
it was Chikorita. Yes.
Chikorita is unfortunately incorrect. No. The answer is actually Heracross.
Oh.
And my note from Liger is, contrary to popular belief, there is really a pattern with who Ash catches first in a new series/regions. In order of region, we have Caterpie, Heracross, Talo, Starly, Pidove, Froakie, Rowlet, and Dragonite/Farfetch'd Galarian, depending on which, if you base it on series or region. I don't know what pattern that is, because there isn't a pattern there.
I don't see a pattern either.
There's no pattern. There's a Froakie in there and then a Rowlet, and I'm very confused. All right. Our next question is going to be from Pika Lola Form. His question is, what is the tallest totem Pokemon, either in Ultra Sun and Moon or in Sun and Moon?
Okay. So going through the totems, you've got Raticate, Gumshoes.
Gumshoes.
Wishiwashi.
Wishiwashi might be big.
Is that kind
Araquanid? I don't know how that. I don't know how they count Araquanid size. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I don't think it's Rabombi. I'm just going to throw that out there. Kamoho is a Pokemon. Salazzle seems likely. Alolan Marowak does not.
Exeggutor is never one of them, is he?
No.
Okay, just making sure.
Lurantis is probably not. Vikavolt and Togedemaru don't seem like likely candidates.
No.
Mimikyu doesn't seem like a likely candidate either, no. So I don't think it's from that island. I think it's probably between Komoo and Wishiwashi.
Wishiwashi seems like a better guess.
Or Araquanid, maybe.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else we're missing. Or is that all of them? That grass one, what's its name?
Lurantis. I don't think it's Lurantis.
Yeah, I don't think it's Lurantis either.
The thing is, Totem Wishiwashi isn't any bigger than a regular Wishiwashi, but I think regular Wishiwashi is really big.
I'm okay with Wishiwashi.
I assume it counts as a Totem Pokemon.
It does count as a Totem Pokemon, yes.
Okay.
So, yeah, let's go Wishiwashi then.
Wishiwashi it is, then.
Wishiwashi is correct.
Yeah.
At 26 feet, 11 inches, it is the tallest by far of all the totem Pokemon.
Like, it wasn't given a technical totem Pokemon in...
Yeah.
Like, available.
Yeah, it wasn't an available totem, but... Well, Araquanid replaced it.
Yeah.
In Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon. Araquanid is at 10 foot 2, then Vikavolt at 8 foot 6, and then Kamoho at 7 foot 10.
Huh. Mm.
Yeah. Kamoho's hunched over nature made me, like...
So that's 1 point for you guys there, one for two. Your next question is your Pokedex entry question. Your Pokedex entry question, we're going to give you a Pokedex entry. You have to tell me what Pokemon that entry belongs to. If you get it with the first entry, you get 2 points. However, if you're riding the Struggle Bus, I will hand you the second entry. And if you answer it off the second entry, you will get 1 point. If you don't get it at all, 0 points.
Yay.
All right. This question is going to be from Mighty Malamar. And it says, it's Ultra Moon Dex entry states... The eggs of a bird Pokemon are its favorite. It swallows eggs whole, so sometimes an egg gets stuck and this Pokemon faints. Who's that Pokemon?
Hmm.
This isn't like the Sneasel line, is it? About stealing eggs? Who stole eggs?
Sneasel's an option, or the other one I was thinking was Ekans.
Ekans I can buy. Ekans makes more sense to me. I just remember something about Sneasel being stealing eggs or something like that.
I could see it fainting, swallowing eggs whole.
But Ekans, I like the idea of swallowing whole and not and fainting for a bit while it digests.
It seems stupid enough of a Pokemon to do that, yeah.
All right, so I'm good with going with Snake.
So Ekans, Snake.
Ekans is correct.
Yay.
That is 2 points for you guys. That is 3 for 3 then. You guys, 2 away from Sigma winning it all. Your next question, because you got the first question wrong, is going to be worth 3 points.
Ooh.
There are 7 answers to this question. I will give you 1 point each for the first for two. That if you give me 3, that is worth 1 point apiece. Up and if you give me all 7, that is 3 points.
Okay.
And this is from Shark Finnegan. Who are all of the 7 ghost type specialists in the main series games?
Oh, okay. Do we even get to count Agatha? Because she uses all
points. Agatha counts. Yes.
So Morty.
Agatha too. Morty.
Phoebe.
That's 3. That's 1 point.
Fantina.
That's 1. That's 4.
Fantina Chantal.
That's 5.
Okay. Who other ghost type Elite Four are you missing?
Acerola.
Oh, who's that? Oh, God. The one in this game. I can't remember the name.
Oh, Alistair.
Alistair. Okay.
That is 6. That's 2 points. So Sigma's crossed the line. But can we get P. McGee 7? That's the question.
Yes.
So which ones have we named from? It's everything except Gen 6.
Does Gen 6
Chantal?
Have one?
Gen 6 does not have one. That's why there's 7, because
isn't there the
Gen has
Gen
one.
5 Elite Four person?
Chantal, I think. Is it Chantal?
Chantal, yeah.
That is Chantal. That is all 7.
Yay.
That is 3 points for you guys. You guys are 6 for 4 because the rules are dumb. Our next question is your base stat question, as always. And I'm going to get this one from Sir Missing No. Which Dragon-type Pokemon has the lowest special attack?
All right.
Oh. we'll use our hint, I guess.
This is a pure dragon, and it's, of course, like, it is also part of an evolutionary line. And it is the smallest part of that evolutionary line.
Yeah, I figured.
So, who is it? Gumi?
I don't
Dratini?
Know.
Oh, wow. A lot of them are pure dragon. This guy's green.
All of them are pure dragon, yeah. Except for, like, Dino.
This one's green.
Oh, is it Dreepy? It's probably
no. He's Ghost. He's Ghost.
Oh,
pure dragon.
Pure dragon and green. Oh, Axew.
Okay, Axew makes sense. That makes more sense. Yep, Axew.
That doesn't have a special attack.
Axew is correct. It has a base special attack of 30. The next one is Bagon, Gible, Fracture, Applin, and Dreepy all tied for 40.
I forgot Applin was a Pokemon.
That is, what, how many? 7. That is 7 points today. It doesn't matter because the only person on the leaderboard is going to be P. McGee with 7. He's going to be winning.
Yes. That's like the 3rd time this year. Woo!
You were like really close one session, I thought. Everybody else, yeah, so you got on the board, but Sigma has won. Next week, we'll be back with you to see who won the Anime Gravy gift card. Liger will actually pick it, so I don't forget. So that is it for Puckle's Poke Quiz. If you want more of that, you can check us out next week with more questions. And if you want your question read, you can go ahead and submit it over on our Discord. But we are going to kick it on over to the topic. And this week we have a new review from Dallas23, 5 stars. Working from home the past 7 months is me eavesdropping on coworkers' random conversations. The Puckle podcast has filled this void. Listening to the main feed and Puckle Plus feed help me keep sane in a quiet home and keeps me informed of the latest Pokemon gossip. Green Tauros. Well, thank you for that. And you too can give us a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to the podcast. We really appreciate it. And we hope to catch you on the flip-flop. Now on to the topic. And welcome to the topic. Our topic today is going to be Crown Tundra. I don't know what else there is to talk about. I feel like the timing is like, let's talk about Crown Tundra because that's the new hotness.
Yes.
I've also really liked it. Like, I haven't finished it yet.
There's a decent amount to do, which is exciting. Like, I put a lot of hours in and like, I've still got tons I can be doing, which is exciting.
Mm-hmm. I liked Isle of Armor. I think that's because I compared it to like Base Swish, but even with like having Isle of Armor to compare Crown Tundra to as well as Base Swish.
Yeah.
I think Crown Tundra, for the most part, is my favorite. I have a couple nitpicks, but I think they did a lot of things well. I'm going to start with the nitpicks so that we can talk only about good things.
Yes.
That way our iTunes reviews don't get bombed. I think the only nitpick I have is because one of my favorite things about Isle of Armor, like one of the things I was really excited about and was really cool was when I got to Isle of Armor, there was a ton of stuff for me to catch that I didn't already have caught. And the thing that with the Crown Tundra was, it's like a Pokedex of like 210 or something like that. And when I walked into Crown Tundra, I had 140 of them. That's my biggest gripe. That is my biggest issue with it. That is it. Like, I understand why it is that way. I just wish it could have been different. That is all.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's fair.
Like, that's my only issue with it, I think, is that it didn't give me enough. It didn't add enough Pokemon to, like, routes, quote unquote.
Yeah, I was going to say, the new things are relatively light. It's like fossils, pseudo-legends, and Nidorans. And Zubat.
Yes, that is
and it. Gen 1 3-stage poison-type Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. It is very light, and then it's just already a bunch of stuff that you could have already caught.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of underwhelming in that aspect, but everything else I think is done really well. I think in terms of it being a DLC for catching legends, I think the way it does it is done very well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The legends are done.
I think even the ones that don't get stories, I think Dynamax Adventures is the coolest way to do it thus far.
Yeah.
In terms of like bulk legend hunting. Probably ever since like Gen 4, in my recollection. Like in Gen 4, all of the legendary, like you could catch all of the legendaries that existed up until that point in like Heart Gold, Soul Silver. And it was very cool. Like the different ways they had you go catch the other legendaries. I think Crown Tundra kind of recaptures that.
Yeah.
I really, really appreciate that. Like the Reggie hunt is really cool. I did finish that. I did finish the Reggie hunt. I didn't get Regigigas yet, but I did do like the four Reggies. I dislike that Regieleki and Regidrago are one per game.
It's unfortunate, but like
I understand
with profiles, I'm less angry about it because I'm going to be catching the other one later.
Today. Yeah, no. I'm not super upset about it. It's just kind of a bummer. I would have loved just like a fifth temple to find.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have loved a fifth temple, but I loved finding the four temples and I loved doing them. I feel like I have to make this clear because there's going to be somebody who like says I'm super negative. I'm just explaining things that I think would be better. Like, I think what they did is wonderful. I think going after the Galarian trio birds is really cool as well.
What I liked about all of those was that you weren't locked into doing them in any particular order.
Yeah.
You can kind of pick something, run with it. If you wanted to change partway through because like, oh, you wanted to go catch Galarian Zapdos, now you can kind of take a break and go do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then go back to the other story. It wasn't like you got to do Calyrex, then you have to do the three birds, and then you can finally do the three Regis. So whatever Pokemon you wanted to play with first of the new legendaries, you can go and get right off the bat.
Yeah.
And play the rest of Crown Tundra with them, which I liked. I thought that was nice because there's actually quite a bit of things added. And so being able to pick and choose which one you want to get, I thought was a good decision on their part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I thought it was really, I really loved that. I mean, I think the creme de la creme for me, I haven't finished I haven't done like the Ultra Beast stuff yet because I haven't finished the Galarian birds or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about that. All it does is add them to your rotation.
Oh, that's dumb.
Yeah, no.
I think Calyrex, like that storyline, if you look at it and you like bare bones it, it feels very similar to Kung Fu. I think the way it's executed is just done so, it's done better than Kung Fu, I think. Mostly because I actually care about Calyrex and I didn't care about Kung Fu. And I think in the context it makes sense because Kung Fu is supposed, like Isle of Armor is supposed to be this thing you can go to in the middle of your playthrough, which I think is kind of a weird thing to make for DLC, but I understand why they did it. Crown Tundra is definitely meant to be post game, and I think they were more able to stretch their legs because it was post game.
Yeah.
And Calyrex gets like a really interesting storyline. I think it's the first Pokemon in game to actually talk to you. In game.
Probably. Because I don't think Mewtwo does ever in the game.
No.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
So that seems that
like
seems
we were accurate. Trying to figure out, and like Darkrai kinda talks through other people or something like
Darkrai,
that.
Darkrai, yeah, but it's very cryptic. It's not like as straightforward.
Yeah, no, it's not actual conversational speech.
Yeah, you never get to like actually sit down and like have a conversation with a Pokemon in game until this.
Yeah.
I mean, this is obviously very spoiler heavy. I apologize in advance for those of you who were behind. But it's like Calyrex gets to speak to you and you actually like work with Calyrex to like make things happen. It's really cool. And I think I like read a review on Reddit of somebody who had played it. And they said that it felt like you were in a Pokemon movie when you were doing the Calyrex stuff. And I can't say that I disagree.
Yeah.
Yep.
I can't say that I disagree. I really think that it feels like the closest thing that we've ever gotten to like a Pokemon movie, and it felt good.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciated that.
Yeah, like Peony is a fun character.
Yeah,
He's an interesting character.
He's a character. I don't know how I feel about Peony. Like, I don't know how I actually feel about him.
Like, the main game didn't have great characters. It had a couple, and then it's like a bunch of unique NPCs, essentially, yeah, with gym leaders. But Peony, I actually enjoy.
Yeah, yeah. Peony is okay. Animated. I like that they've taken the liberty. I really like in the lore of just Sword and Shield. And this is Thatch is saying good things about Sword and Shield. Okay. Remember, Thatch does this. So this isn't for you guys. It's for everybody listening. But I think one of the coolest things they've done with Sword and Shield has been that they have this roster and this lore of gym leaders and type specialists, and they've slowly been adding to it with the DLC. And I mean, it's not full right now, obviously, but they've got 13 out of the 18 types covered right now as specialists.
Oh, that's nice. I hadn't thought that.
Yeah. Because if you think Base Switch has 10, right?
Yeah.
And then you get Avery and I forget the girl's name in Sword in
Clara.
Yeah. So that's Poison and Psychic. And then we just got Peony, who's Steel. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really cool. I think that really works out well. Is that Peony is there? And I mean, it leaves them open too. Like, there's still another five that they could always just like throw in.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not like they need to, because I think even Ultra Sun and Moon didn't technically have Ice and Psychic specialists.
No, I don't think they did.
Technically. And even Dragon's a stretch with Ryuki. But
yes.
I mean, Dexio and Senna use Psychic and Ice Pokemon, but I wouldn't call them the specialists for that game.
I think it's really cool, though, and it like allows them growth, and it's a really cool way to build an in-universe. Personally, yeah. I would love to see like another five thrown in, but that's also just me being like, hey, I want more DLC, because I think Crown Tundra and Isle of Armor, like as a package, I think they're good ways for the franchise to go forward. And I think Crown Tundra is a really good way to experience an open world Pokemon game, specifically Crown Tundra over Isle of Armor.
Absolutely.
Crown Tundra definitely is bigger than Isle of Armor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also miss like the feeling of getting lost that never happened in Sword and Shield. it didn't happen in Base Sword and Shield, because there's like one path and like maybe one offshoot where you find an item, then you go back to the main path, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I only just recently found where safety goggles were in the main game. I did not know that area existed off of the straight path. I was surprised. It's like, oh, that route had more to it?
Yeah, right.
I wouldn't have guessed.
You're right.
It wasn't much. It was just the safety goggles.
Yeah,
but, you know.
Exactly. So like, I feel like Crown Tundra and Isle of Armor were it still makes me feel like Sword and Shield were rushed. Like I don't that opinion hasn't changed.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Crown Tundra and Isle of Armor have been more tech demos almost.
Yeah, no, that's what I always thought they'd be. It's like, let's see what a real next gen Pokemon game map could
look like. Yeah, I think Crown Tundra's an excellent example of that. Because they even have like a town like tucked into it and everything. It's done very, very well. In that regard.
There are some caves that are just mazes, and I love that. It feels like classic Pokemon cave mazes.
Right?
And it's like, oh, nice. I don't know how to get to that item I see over
there.
My
favorite thing is still somebody in our Discord, I forget who it was, they said, I've never been happier to see Zubat in a cave in my entire life. Which I thought was funny. Like, that was good. I think there's like a couple of missed opportunities. The only one being the other complaint I have is not only did I have 140 Pokemon registered in the Crown Tundra decks, not many of them were also in the Isle of Armor decks or anything. Like most of them that were copied and pasted from like the Base Sword and Shield decks were also in the Isle of Armor decks. And I didn't like that. Like, do I really need Gyarados and a Magikarp again? Do I need, you know, so many things again? That was kind of frustrating. I mean, don't get me wrong. I am really happy because at least like one of my favorites got back into the game, in the form of Electivire. He's not good, but he's one of my favorites.
I'm happy for him to exist. He was one of my favorite Gen 4 additions. I thought it was actually an improvement upon Electabuzz, where Magmortar was just kind of an abomination.
Yo, absolutely. Electivire has always been my favorite. Like, because when I really got into like wanting to cover Pokemon and like do the podcast and stuff, that was like right before Gen 4 came out. And I was trying to find an outlet for that. And I was trying to find an outlet for that. But like, I remember like the pre-release stuff for Gen 4 and Electivire was in it. And I was just so stoked for that. I don't know what it was. It was just his design was really cool to me. And at the time, like initially in Gen 4, he was actually good because there was
pre-platinum.
Electivire was pretty good. And because you can get a motor drive off and then you're, yeah, platinum team preview ended him. I don't know that platinum ended him, but team preview did.
when you could blindly switch it into a Gyarados, an attack on Gyarados is like, no. You're attacking my Electivire, and now it's got to, now it's boosted.
Now he's going to sweep because he had, like, Electivire had good coverage.
Maybe Overdrive Toxtricity pairing with him and VGC could do something. We'll find out. Probably not.
Maybe.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Wait, no, Overdrive, don't, never mind. Overdrive doesn't target your teammate. Discharge.
No.
No, it doesn't.
Discharge. You need to discharge. And even
you
then,
need
like,
discharge.
Those strategies already existed.
And it hasn't gotten anywhere.
No.
Maybe discharge with Regieleki now, because now you have the speed stat to discharge.
Nothing you're saying. Well, maybe with the speed change mechanics. With Regieleki, I could see it.
Yeah.
With the speed change mechanics. But even that just feels like a lot of work to make Electivire work when you already have a Regieleki.
Yeah. I do want to comment, because I mentioned Regieleki. Like, this is probably a good reason for Hidden Power not to exist, because the one thing holding Regieleki back is not having Hidden Power Ice, because he would be an absolute abomination if he could just Hidden Power Ice, because nothing outspeeds him without, like, a scarf and, like, over a 120 speed stat. That's the only way you're getting past Regieleki.
I think Hidden Power being taken out, excuse me, I believe Hidden Power being taken out is one of the best things to happen in Pokemon. Like, I think that is one of the best things Sword and Shield did, was get rid of Hidden Power. As much as, like, I hate Dexit and I hate a bunch of other things that they did, I really appreciate that from a balancing point of view. I do think they took a much better look at competitive than they ever have in Gen 8. I really do.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the stats of, like, literally everything they've added, they thought this through. They were thinking about it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They, like, Urshifu is a machine crafted to disrupt typical VGC play.
Mimikyu. One speed point.
Yes. Yeah, like, literally. Like, they have just looked so finely under the microscope about what they're trying to do. And... Like, I'll give them props for that, and that's probably why they didn't want the full decks, at least this generation, because they really wanted to look at everything and make it work a little bit at a time. And I think they can keep doing that. I really think they can keep doing
that. Yeah, I'm okay with a slow rollout.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
So the way I would really like to see it happen, I would like to see it where all of the Pokemon can still be transferred in, like, as soon as you get home compatibility. I'd like to see that. But in their official formats, I would like to continue to see the slow rollout.
Yeah. It's been really, really fun.
In VGC, I think it's, like, super healthy for it.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, honestly, and I've said it before, I think you can make Sword and... You would make Sword and Shield what I would call the ultimate Pokemon games if you added two more DLCs or something, or one more big DLC, where it finished the decks and you could almost catch everything in Sword and Shield. I would call that the ultimate Pokemon game, and I would love if that was the format here on out for Pokemon. Where it's just like, hey, we're going to add all of the Pokemon in eventually for you to catch. Mm-hmm. But you can transfer them in so you can play around with them, whatever. And give us a 60-minute timer.
Yeah. It's not too much to ask.
60-minute timer and spectator mode. Spectator mode over Wi-Fi. That's what I should clarify. Should are like the two things. Even now, like, if they just went 60-minute timer... Spectator mode now, I would be pretty happy. I think Sword and Shield would be really good.
I mean, spectator mode is a kind of it's something that should exist now, especially having dealt with COVID and them canceling every event they could possibly have. That, like, anyone that wants to run a Pokemon community has, like, such a hard time of hosting and showcasing video content for battles. And it just feels like really silly to me that they haven't tried to repair that specific aspect of it. But I don't know.
I think that is something that you might see fixed in the next game. Like, I wouldn't be surprised, if the next game, which is, I'm going to predict right now, is going to be in Gen 8 still. It's not going to be Gen 9. I think there's going to be one more game. Because, personally, I think they're just going to do Gen 4 and finish the decks.
Yeah, it seems more and more like the route they're going.
Especially with, like, a lot of the Pokemon they've not included. I think it's very telling that half the starters are still missing.
It would be a little odd for them to do a Spiritomb event again after doing a Spiritomb event in this game, though.
I don't think it's terribly
That was a good solution to Spirit Tomb, by the way. I actually thought that was, cause that, what was it? It was just talked to like, it was being like, isn't it generally just like, you have to be online and then you have to encounter this certain gravestone and then you have to talk to like 50 different people and then you can catch Spirit Tomb?
I think the number's lower. It's 40. Than that. I thought it was
it's
like,
40. It's 40.
I've heard
okay.
40. Yeah. But it's the character, not the characters that say hi. They have to give you an item too, I believe, okay. or something like that. So, but it's still well mm-hmm. done and it harkens back to the Spirit Tomb event in Gen 4 where you had to talk to people yeah. in the underground.
Oh man, could you imagine a modern day underground? That would be so cool.
I am curious so cool. if we ever got remakes, if they'd continue that or they would just try to find a new workaround for that whole, a conversation for another day. Yeah.
We could, that sounds like a good episode topic in like 3 weeks.
On topic, can I express my distaste for the Calyrex forms as they are not really forms? Yeah. A Pokemon has just saddled onto another one.
I don't know if anybody expected any different.
I mean, I guess I wanted a little more of like a fusion or like some kind of like different appearance changes for Calyrex. Maybe Calyrex, like its head changed shape a little bit. Something.
Maybe get some attributes from the horse or something. That would
yeah,
be
like it just yeah. kind of like gets more kingly, like with its crown. It starts to look like much more like a king. I don't know. It just mm-hmm. it literally like they just put two sprites, they put two animation.
They stapled two models yeah, together and gave them a look.
Exactly. Kick. That's all they did. And I wasn't thrilled. I mean, because you look at like yeah. here, black and white, and those had some better looking fusion yes. stuff going on.
Definitely.
And this was. Like, I like Calyrex enough, and I like the story behind Calyrex. I like the horses. I just don't care for the final form.
I don't blame you. I think the horses themselves, like, I like the concept. I don't like the execution.
Mm-hmm.
The horses themselves just feel very bleh. They're mm-hmm. very, I think the problem is they're very simple. They're very simple, which makes them look too much like just a straight horse.
Yes.
I was going to say, they look like they just took the Galarian Rapidash model and
yeah.
made it better.
Yeah, especially Spectrier. Yeah, I can really see that with Spectrier.
Yeah, I really just, I mean, I did Spectrier in my playthrough and like just seeing the animations with it, I'm just like, man, this looks like you just took a bear horse and then threw three things on it and then you called it good. I'm just like, that's kind of blah. It's not that exciting. Like, I mean, you look at other Pokemon designs like Ludicolo or something like that, and you're just like, this is a really cool design. And with the horses, I'm like, yep, that's a horse.
I was really hopeful they were going to give them like the appropriate stat pool to be allowed to play like online, because I thought the combination of their ability, like whether it's whatever the ice one or the ghost one was, and with like a nerve was actually kind of interesting for like VGC formats, because you could have like a legit good ability. Yeah, it's like not a bad ability for VGC, because you have like a regular standard ability that like boosts your primary attacking stat when you get KOs, but then you also stop anyone from eating berries, so you can kind of, and that's mm-hmm. common in VGC, so you can play with that, but they're 680 BSD, so they're not coming to any regular format.
Speaking of that, I saw they had 680 BSD, and I was mm-hmm. like, oh, cool, so like, maybe we're done, like, maybe there's nothing else coming this gen.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, like, these are big,
because like that's typically, well, I mean, I don't want to say typically, because like my data point's just Gen 7, where it's just like, yeah, we got 680 base stat, Necrozma. We're done.
mm-hmm.
We're done. We're just done now. And like, I've walked myself back from that, like that initial like jerk to be like, okay, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only because of Gen 6. I mean, which is the first place that we ever saw like a 680 base stat. Because I believe Mega Mewtwo has 680s.
I thought it was 720.
Oh, wait, yeah. Then Ultra Necrozma 720.
Might be.
Yeah, oh, no, never mind. Megas, I don't even know. We're not done yet. I got 680 mixed with 720.
But we removed all 720s from the game. So nah. 680 is your big benchmark.
Yeah, big benchmark until the Mega DLC. I think Mega DLC can still happen.
I was so annoyed by Peony's like his like
the ultra mega catchphrase.
Yeah, I hated that because I knew for a fact that ultras were in the game, and so like that was fine, whatever. And then he kept saying mega afterwards, and I was like, wow, you're just taunting us with that.
Okay, so like slight pet peeve from Isle of Armor, they kept calling the what's the lady's name? Oh my gosh, Muster's wife, Honey. She called you. She says something where she calls you like a spring ducklet. And I was just like, You can't say that word. Ducklet's not here right now. Okay. Don't remind me that it's not here right now. So I was like, it's interesting to see their attitude towards Pokemon not in the Pokemon game.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of makes sense at the same time.
I understand why Megas aren't there from like a battling perspective. Like a competitive perspective, like I can see if you had Dynamax and you just let like a Mega Dynamax, that could be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, before we get complaints, 780. 780 is the total for Mewtwo and friends.
780?
I thought...
780 is Mega wow. Rayquaza and Mewtwo.
Crazy. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was 720. List of...
720 might be Arceus, though.
Yeah, it is. 720 Arceus. Is Arceus. That's 120s.
Also not in the game, though.
Which is interesting. I thought it was really interesting that no Gen 4 Mythicals made it at all.
Yeah.
I feel like Manaphy should have, if nothing
Manaphy
else.
Manaphy should have done it.
Manaphy and
Darkrai. Manaphy should have definitely did it.
Actually, no. Just Manaphy.
Poor Fionn.
I think the rest of the, like the equivalents for Manaphy are there, right? Because Victini's in the game. It's apparently catchable, but nobody knows how. So Victini's there.
All the 100s. Deoncé's so there. Jirachi.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all there. Except for Manaphy.
Yeah.
They're all there except for mm-hmm. Manaphy.
Yeah, Manaphy feels like it's missing. Like, Manaphy's the kind of Pokemon that if they did decide to do, like, that format, the tournament we had, like, a mm-hmm. week ago, 2 weeks ago, like, Manaphy's fine. Manaphy's not yes. broken. You don't have to worry about, like, spread hypnosis.
Okay, is Zygarde complete in Swish, though?
Yeah.
So Zygarde complete has a base stat total of 708.
Ooh.
I mean, it's all HP, though.
And Zacian and Zamazenta hit 720. And Zacian and Zamazenta both hit 720, actually, in their crown forms.
Oh, that's good for them. Good
so for them. Maybe it isn't over. Never mind. I thought the 680s were telling me it was over. Maybe it's not over. I read Stay into tuned. Something that doesn't matter at all. Regular Mewtwo has a base stat total of 680. Okay, I'm stupid. I'm just dumb. Like, that's what I've learned. I'm just dumb.
No, 680 is just your standard, like, box legend.
Wow, okay. So I'm just dumb. That's what I've learned. I'm just dumb.
Target.
I'm just dumb. Thatch doesn't know what he's talking about. He shouldn't run a Pokemon podcast. But even then, Zacian and Zamazenta still hit 720 in the crowd yeah. forms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's at the use of an item slot.
Yeah, I'm okay if that... I mean, that's the same could be said about Megas. Like, you have those... You have stuff... You have yeah, high base
but those were hitting 770, 780.
Item slot.
Yeah, exactly.
Though technically, like, their stats are a little higher than that because they get the free boost mm-hmm. when they come in,
yeah.
too. But I think that's a better way of handling, like, the power boost.
It's why Zacian was the number one for that tournament, right? In terms of usage?
Yeah, and I never saw Zacian beat me because it's relatively easy to beat, too.
Were you running Torkoal?
Yes.
Torkoal
laughs at Zacian.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
So all the layouts were scary.
Speaking of legends, okay, so I haven't gotten a lot of time to play with the Dynamax Adventures yet, but that's been a lot of fun.
Oh man, yeah, no. So I think this is the last thing that we should really talk about because I think Dynamax Adventures, out of everything that we've talked about, is probably like I think everything we talked about beforehand is like future of Pokemon, mm-hmm. like implications and stuff like that. Like, this is really cool. We really enjoyed it. More, please. And the Dynamax Adventures, I think, is like the here and now. This is what we should be enjoying for like the next 6 months.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Dynamax Adventures, I mean, it changed raid battling enough to make it good.
Yeah. It fixed all of the less, I mean, it added some fun to it because it got to the point where like raid battles were like, here's four of us with level 100 Dracovish just holding choice bands and we're just going to blast through these really quickly.
Yeah. And there's no shields though either. Like, there's no shields. So, yeah. Like, the pacing is better. And
all rentals.
You get to use rentals, which I think is always a really cool mechanic if done correctly. Not you, Battle mm-hmm. Agency. I mean, I think it's really cool when you get to do that. And I think the 100% catch rate on everything is really cool. And I also think the upped shiny percentages in there is really cool as well.
So what I heard for those was it was without a shiny tournament, it was like 1 in 300. And with yes. a shiny tournament, it's like 1 in 100.
Yeah. I mean, so it's kind of yep. like it's the this is you need to think about Dynamax Adventures as the ultra wormholes,
yeah,
that we went into in
Usum,
because those also had like super high shiny chances and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. The difference is this one's way more controllable and I think easy to understand, while at the same time allowing for cooperative play to do it.
it's a lot more fun to play through, and you can actually target Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I want to go for Ultra, or I want to go for a shiny Necrozma. I'll just save it, and if you don't catch, if you catch it in the end and don't keep it, you get to keep it on your little thing and say, yeah,
I want to go for that one again. Yeah, it's super nice. I think it's handled so well.
Yes. There's like really, like it's a really optimized system of gameplay for, it's like, it's really maximizing the mechanic they introduced in this generation. Cause like Max Raids are a fun, like 3 minute thing, but like doing 5-star raid shuckles cause you have to clear it is not very fun. Mm-hmm. This is fun.
Dynamax Adventures, super fun. Absolutely recommend. 10 out of 10.
Yeah. Standard raids seem like they're going to be not great to go through in Crown Tundra, though, with how big the map is. I don't plan on doing many regular
raids. I would be okay with them doing like raid events with the Dynamax Adventures.
I'm thinking that's what they'll do, because this seems like the perfect like summation of what they wanted Dynamax to be.
I'm going to disagree with you on that one and say they probably won't, because it's a good idea. And I don't trust TPCI to do good things all the time.
I mean, it makes sense that they would like put something at the end of like a Dynamax Adventure, like as a special promotional event. We'll see what happens. I mean, because like we've been having it the last several months where it's just been increases in what shows up in the wild area in terms of typing and all that and certain things. I'm curious to see if they'll incorporate the Dynamax Adventure stuff into like future promotionals for whatever the month might be. I don't know what that's going to look like yet, though. I guess we'll find out in November. I do like the, because you said it, I wanted to mention it as a quick aside. I really like the map designs they've been doing for the DLCs. They feel much more, it's really cool to wander around those areas, because like they go into the next section really well. And so you kind of get lost in them a little bit, which again is something I don't get a lot of out of Pokemon anymore, is getting lost in an area.
I mean, I would say in Sun and Moon, I got lost occasionally because I was just searching. But like this one, I would legitimately get lost, kind of like Breath of the Wild style lost.
Yeah, because like wild OG wild area, you don't get lost in. Like it just doesn't happen.
It's not.
It's basically impossible. Unless like
enough.
It's like
it's just like a really flat. I imagine OG wild area as like the N64 polygons of wild area, and now we're actually at Switch wild area, and like the difference is very stark.
Oh, absolutely.
It's very stark, and I think we could eventually just get to something like Crown Tundra for an entire Pokemon game very easily.
Uh huh.
And that's what I'm kind of hoping like Generation 9 is. It's just Crown Tundra all day, every day.
I imagine it'll be on Switch. Just the way they do gaming right now. They like to do two generations per console. So I feel like it could be like a really optimized game on Switch, and I'm really hopeful for it.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know, like, in general gaming overall, like, does Nintendo even really move away from the Switch?
I don't know. There's no incentive to.
I don't think there's any incentive to, and if they do anything, I would just expect like a more powerful Switch. Even when after the Wii was such a success, they just tried to make another Wii, and they literally tried to just call it the Wii U. I think with the way that the Switch is so successful, they'll probably keep the Switch, and I think the only reason the Switch is doing so well is because it's such a powerful handheld.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, as much as they'll say, like, people typically play their Switch in handheld mode, like, 90% of the time or whatever, I think having that 10% of the time where you can plug it into the TV is a huge thing for a lot of consumers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've moved to TV.
I'll go between both. Like, I switch between both all the time. And I think that convenience alone is just ginormous.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I love doing it for Pokemon. Like, that's one of my favorite things to do for Pokemon. That's where we leave it. That's where we should leave it. I would say Crown Tundra 10 out of 10. Well, I'll say 9.5 out of 10 because I want more new Pokemon to catch.
Also, Galarian Star Tournament's kind of bland.
I haven't even gotten there, but I didn't expect much from it anyway.
I just like wanted like one or two cool cameos, like for partners you could partner up with, like a Cynthia or a Lance or something like that. And it's just not there.
No, you get the least cool cameo, and they're from the game
itself. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. It's underwhelming in that aspect, but honestly, everything that happened makes me go, somebody at Game Freak legitimately thought, man, models are hard. And I think that's what everything has shown me so far, because they literally haven't brought back any Pokemon with more than two forms. Is there even a way to switch between Incarnate and Therian form? Do they put the mirror in the game or no?
Yeah, the mirror's here.
And like they haven't put in like things like Sawsbuck, which would have been really good in this in the Crown Tundra, I think, in terms of the ecosystem, because you could have probably had almost all of the forms in the Crown Tundra.
Yeah, Sawsbuck's a weird one that they probably could.
Yeah,
I would have loved Sawsbuck in a place like this, because you could have had like a couple of versions in the Isle of Armor, and then the other couple, right? Crown Tundra. And just that way, like, that way you don't need to make it seasonal. Just like they're in a location, and that location with the weather is what it's going to be. But oh well, missed opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, I think it's mostly just because of the multiple models. And I think that was legitimately their problem. And I think that transfers even over to the character models.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping they fix that problem in the future.
Absolutely.
On that note, though, I think this is a good place to stop. And we're going to take a short break and be right back at you with the Pokemon of the episode. We'll catch you on the flip-flop.
Episode.
And welcome to our Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 834, Drednaw, the Bite Pokemon.
With jaws that can shear through steel rods, this highly aggressive Pokemon chomps down on its unfortunate prey, which is very fitting considering what it does on this team.
It does have strong jaw, but you'll never use it. You'll use Swift Swim. Because it has Swift Swim. Drednaw has Swift Swim, and it's much better. I was thinking to myself the other day that, like, hidden abilities were, like, their value's been deflated. But at the same time, I'm okay with that because it used to be really bad to get them. So when they were introduced, it was horrible. Like, the introduction of hidden abilities was the worst thing ever. And now everything can just have a hidden ability because we have the patch for it.
Problem solved.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. But Drednaw is a snapping turtle. It's going to snap your head off. And I don't think his base stats are bad. He was my favorite one from the reveal cycle of Gen 8.
Mm-hmm.
He has a base HP of 90, base attack of 115, defense of 90. But all of these numbers are really good. Special attack of 48. Don't care. We don't care at all. Special defense of 68. That's bad. And 74 speed. 74 speed's not bad, though. Like, especially with Swift Swim.
In Alola, that would have been like 33 speed. So
yes. Alola, all of the Pokemon were on island time in Alola. I don't know what that was.
He's a turtle and he's faster than Alola. It's fine.
Oh, well, snapping. I don't know if you've ever seen a snapping turtle, but those guys move. Dude, those guys move. Those guys are scary. All right. But we got a VGC team today for it. This is for season 6. So it runs out by the end of the week.
Yeah, use it quick.
You can try this team out. I'm going to take this Drednaw here because it's Drednaw.
Mm-hmm.
He's holding... I played with this team already this week, and I had a good time with it on Showdown. It is very easy to pilot, in my opinion.
It's got one way to pilot.
Yes. The strategy is make it rain and don't let it stop. It's got Choice Band, Swift Swim. He is 252 attack, 252 speed, Jolly Nature, make him as fast as he can. Head Smash, Rock Slide, Liquidation, Superpower. And it pairs well with Pelipper because it's Pelipper.
Mm-hmm.
Pelipper is the ultimate Drizzle setter. That's not Kyogre. And he is running Focus Sash with Drizzle, 252 Special Attack, 252 Speed with the Timid Nature and Scald, Hurricane, Tailwind, and U-Turn. The times have never changed. It is a Pelipper. Could you imagine? Oh man, Tailwind in the rain? That'd be great for this team. this team is just Swift Swim. And speed control, like, I don't know if I can emphasize it enough, but I think the number one thing that anybody can do when they get into Pokemon, if they, like, they want, like, a list of things to learn, I think speed tiers is the number one thing.
Speed tiers helps a lot, but when you're running Swift Swim Rain, you usually don't need to know them, because you're faster than everything.
I think Swift Swim is very good in that regard, but I think it's still good to know your speed tiers. In general, just so you can understand that. And then you can understand the reason for speed control, which in this case is just rain on this team, which I think is one of the easier ways to do speed control. And currently in the meta, it makes it very easy to do, especially with Dynamax.
There's no Torkoal, there's no Tyranitar, so...
And there's no... Did Torkoal get booted? Torkoal didn't get booted, though.
Torkoal's gone.
It's Torkoal and Tyranitar.
Yeah, all the weather setters are gone.
It's like, are they running Ninetales?
Perfect.
Alolan Ninetales? Like...
Yeah, nobody cares about Alolan Ninetales. Alolan Ninetales is poop. I should use this for my gym team for Fall League. Just use this. Throw some fire types on it.
You could legitimately run this team as like a BSS team too. There's like zero team moves on this team. You can just leap
that's,
for
that's
you.
True. That's true.
You take Protect Off, add some coverage.
Yeah.
So I guess somebody else should talk about the rest of the team that's not Pelipper and Drednaw.
That's fine. I can talk about... Okay, so I'll do our Dynamax duo, which is...
Okay.
We got Kingdra with a life orb, obviously Swift yes. Swim, Modest Nature, Muddy Water, Draco Meteor, Hurricane, Protect. This is one of your primary go big options, and it's probably the one that's usually best. But if you don't like the matchup because there's a lot of fairies, you got Ludicolo with a Koba Berry, also Swift Swim, also Modest Nature, Muddy Water, Leaf Storm, Ice Beam, Protect. So either of those go big and do a lot of damage. Win-win.
Yeah. I love both of these. Like, any team that makes Ludicolo good is a good team.
And usually it's rain.
Yes, it is always rain.
So last up, we've got Seismitoad with leftovers and Swift Swim, because we're running out of items, so it gets leftovers, I guess. We're actually running a lot of HP into it, and then the rest of it's mixed into special attack and speed. You'll see it when you see the team. But Modest Nature again, Muddy Water, Earth Power, Sludge Bomb, and Substitute for the fun. And last up, we have Excavalier, the one non-swift-swimming rain Pokemon on the team, holding its Oka Berry, because in the rain with an Oka Berry, you're never really going to take it down with one fire hit.
Mm-hmm.
Ability Overcoat, so it gets to ignore those powders and...
That's really nice, though, especially with, like, Amoongus all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then Max HP, Max Attack, standard Excavalier with the zero speed Brave Nature. Mega Horn, Iron Head, Razor Shell, which I just learned that this thing got, and Sword Stance.
Mm-hmm.
It's a scary threat, especially if you Dynamax it after a Sword Stance. That's just going to ruin everyone's day.
It's a good answer for Trick Room, too, if that happens against you.
If they have a Trick Room team, that's like, it's the bane of the rain team. So it's like, oh, what you going to do, Trick Room? I'm slower than you. I can guarantee that.
Very true. Oh, man. This team's good, though. I actually enjoyed running it this week. I definitely recommend it, especially if you're trying to get into VGC. Like, this is a great team to try out.
It's like a very good team for the moment that it's in, because all the weather's gone. A lot of the problems that would check it otherwise are gone. No Venusaur in there, no sun. So it has a really, really good window.
I think season 6 has particularly been very good because of that, because you are capable of just like playing. I think the biggest problem that a lot of new players when they come into the game have is they go, I really want to use this Pokemon.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess problem is the wrong way to phrase that, but they always want to use a certain Pokemon that they have an attachment to because they want to make it good. And I think series 6 in general made it very possible for them to be good in some niche way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sad to see series 6 go. I think series 6 was probably one of the most balanced that we've ever seen.
I think it was fun to look at teams. It was fun to play teams.
Yes. I mean, we made Flapple work, which I think is amazing. So
made Flapple work well.
Right? There's nothing. Yeah. Like Series 6 is the most fun VGC that I've ever had, ever. The teams were very diverse. You could make things work. It was fun. I'm sad to see you go.
I hope we do bannings again.
I hope we do it again. I mean, maybe in January or March, we'll see it happen again. I could definitely see that happening. But on that note, this is a good place to stop. We are going to kick it on over to the mailbag.
It's mail time. Send in your emails.
And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag, as always, is brought to you by the fictional energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
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 And so this is the segment of the show where we read your emails on air. All you have to do is send us an email at pucklepodcast@gmail.com, answer our mailbag question, or just honestly send us an email about anything about Pokemon, and we'll probably read it on the show, or you'll have a chance to have it read on the show. We typically do about 3 per week for time constraints, but if you spark good conversation among us, we'll give you what's known as the Green Tauros badge, which turns your name to a funky green over on the Discord server. It does reset every year, so the earlier you get in the year, the more longer you have it. So, without further ado, let's get started. Our first email this week is going to be from Fel Maloney, and I am going to get this one. So, our friend Fel says... Hi, Puckle folks. This is Fel Maloney, and it's the first time I write. I started listening to you ahead of the Switch release and haven't stopped since. I am really excited for Crown Tundra, or Town Crundra, And your podcast is hyping me up bad, Town Cruncher. Did we make that joke last week? I forgot.
Yeah, you did it somewhere.
Perfect. Okay. I'm okay with that. Town Cruncher. When I was 10, Red and Blue landed in my native Spain. I have very fond memories of the first three gens, but I stopped playing after that. Swish felt like the perfect chance to jump back into the main series, and I'm loving it. Imagine not having been around for the past five gens and seeing mons like Drifloon for the first time in the wild area in 2019. Which is why I'm also terrible when it comes to competitive. And why I find the podcast so informative in that aspect. You guys have some insane Pokemon knowledge, in quotes. I love that. I like that I have a person that likes my fun little quips. Back to the topic, I tend to agree with Thatch on how the Isle of Armor expansion pushed the boundaries of the wild area and made for a much better experience than base Swish, and can't wait for the Crown Tundra for the first time and see what it brings to the table. It did good. It did good, kid.
It did good.
As with the Isle of Armor, I guess I'll find a new Pokemon I didn't know existed, or some old favorites of mine like Dragonite or Absol. Now for the controversy. I've not been a huge fan of raids. I find them rather boring because I don't have friends who play. I really hope they make legendary raid den exploration a bit more fun than just a pile of long raids. Than a bunch of long raids. I sure hope not all fights are with 5-star with shields. Thanks for reading and keep up the great work, Fel Maloney. I mean, I think all of those problems have been addressed. I think Dynamax Adventures not having shields is huge. And I don't know if I would say they're 5-star raids, but I mean, they're not easy, but they're just right in terms of difficulty.
They're not easy, but they're like fair. They feel fair.
Exactly. I think they feel fair, and I think they are exactly where they should be. I think everything that he thought might be a problem is just gone now.
Yeah. Like, last night on Discord, we had both of the Dynamax Adventure chats running, so that was cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But by the way, because he says he doesn't have anybody to play with, he should 100% come to the Discord server and play with people on the Discord server.
Yeah, like, just go to the Tradesman Raids channel, and as long as you're not doing it, like, in the middle of the day for everyone.
I mean, there's a decent European contingency, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Fair. That's fair.
I don't know if he says he's native to Spain. I don't know if he's still living there or not, but if you're still somewhere in Europe, there's a good chunk of, like, people who live in England and stuff in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind.
Yeah, and, like, if you can get three people, it can work fine. Two people might be a challenge.
Yes.
Three people can work.
Yes, yes, yes. All right. So let me go ahead and let's get on to this next email. Our next one is going to be from, oh my gosh, I see the name on the email, but I don't want to say it because that's not the name they told us to call them. From Lucifer in the Discord.
So he says, "Hey, Puckle Crew, I've been listening for a long time now and love the podcast. It especially helps me get through my Tuesday at work because he's Australian, and it always helps me with my VGC knowledge too. I'm not particularly masterful in VGC, but can often hold my own, thankfully. I want to incorporate Dunspurs into more teams, though, as it's my favorite Pokemon."
We're so sorry.
I know. One day maybe he'll be okay.
No.
1 year.
No.
When he gets an evolution, everyone will
never
get one.
Never. The next regional Dunsparce will get a regional evolution.
Yes. Anyways, when it comes to the Crown Tundra, there seems to be a plethora of similarities between the Max Raid Adventures and Ultra Wormholes. What I'm most excited about is the chance for a viable shiny hunting method for this generation. Wow, you got a lot of this right. It's 2 days ago.
Yes. This is a much better shiny hunting. This is so much better than shiny hunting.
Oh, yeah. With the addition of the endless mode they are introducing, I am very hopeful that it will become a shiny hunting method with a decent pool of Pokemon.
It is a good pool, too. Oh my gosh, the pool's giant.
Yep. I can't wait to play VGC with my boy Metagross and enjoy Max Raid Adventures with everyone in the Puckle Discord. And he just lets us know his name is Lucifer. Thanks, Lucifer.
Perfect. Thank you, Lucifer. I'm going to let Sigma get the last two because he really wanted this one from Bam with an exclamation point.
Bam!
Bam!
Bam! Hello, Pokalonians. I think this was the first time that I was excited to encounter a Zubat in a cave. Catch y'all on the flip-flop. Bye.
No green Taurus badge, but good enough. Okay, so our last one today is actually from MOMO.
All right. So sorry for the late submission. This was last night, so it wasn't actually that late.
It's fine. It's before Saturday morning, which is all that matters.
That is all that matters. It's like, this came in Friday night. Sure. It's fine. I can only imagine how many you're getting just before taping. I haven't had much of a chance to play yet.
as I just landed in Denver to visit my family over the weekend. We are visiting our almost 2-year-old niece, whose first Pokemon was an Eevee. We bought her a plush, and she even ran to get it when she saw me on FaceTime the other day. Aw, that's cute.
Yeah.
I was able to clear 2 of the legendary quest lines on the plane, though. And I have to say, even though I'm not the biggest fan of legendary Pokemon, I am in love with Regieleki. The way he bounces from side to side with his little legs is just adorable. And the fact that he's my favorite type is a bonus. I certainly can't wait to jump on Discord and play some Dynamax adventures with the community. But it'll have to wait for now. Keep up the great work and catch you on the flip-flop, MOMO.
Oh, that's a good one. Thank you for that, MOMO. We hope your niece enjoys whatever you bring them.
Regieleki's so much better than Regidrago.
Regieleki is better than Regidrago. Yes, that is the answer. But but thank you for that. Thank you to everybody who sent the emails in. Do we have a winner for the Green Taurus badge? And why is it Felix?
That's sure. The winner.
Yeah, Phil Maloney, you got it. Yeah, he said I could call him Felix in there, so I'm fine. Okay. So yeah, if you come to the Discord server, we will give you the Green Tauros badge. You can send us an email in next week letting us know what you thought so far of Crown Tundra. Send that in to PucklePodcast@gmail.com. And until next week, if you want to keep up with the wonderful Puckle Podcast and all of us over here at Puckle, you can do so in a variety of ways. First of all, you can go over to a Discord server. That's the best place to go. You can go over to Twitter, where Sigma will keep you updated. Pretty much all of the random fun things he finds. You can go over to our Tumblr, our Facebook, and our Instagram for more goodies. Additionally, you can go ahead and check out our YouTube channel, where you can see P. Mickey use that Dreadnought team, which is very fun. And then you can also go ahead and check us out on Twitch at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast. And if you're a patron, we're going to start doing some Dynamax adventures together once a week. So get ready for that over on stream at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast. You can, of course, subscribe to us with any Twitch Prime membership to help support the show. You can also support us by going to TeePublic and buying a t-shirt there. Or you can just go to Patreon at patreon.com/pucklepodcast. And remember, at the $15 tier in November, you do get those sweet, sweet badges sent to you with a coupon. I also need those sweet, sweet badges sent to me in general still. So we're waiting. They should be here. They should be here by early November, though. On that note, though, we are going to go ahead and I guess this is a place to end it. I have been Trainer Thatch.
I've been Arsene.
And I have been P. McGee.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.